software system to help coordinate, you know, letting you know what's happening and for you to find out. It's and we need your details to put in the system so that you can then actually access. And even for a visitor, even if you're visiting, you might not, you might not feel like you're a part of this family. That's fine. But we actually need your details so that you can then, we can reach out to you and you can actually access our information. Some of you have done that already, but for those that haven't, Melanie, would you like to stand up, please? Yay for Melanie. Please give her a big hand. Our wonderful Melanie. She's going to be sitting just like that little lady there out where we have coffee. So please make a beeline, and that means go directly to Melanie if you haven't given her your details just yet. Well, please. So I reckon, grab your coffee or tea, just mosey on up to Melly and say, hi, do you need to see me? Just checking off, check me in if you haven't, if you need to. Thanks, Melanie. Awesome. Great. God's doing some good stuff. And so let's just come as we, listen to God's word for us as he continues to minister. He's already here. And so, God, we invite you in. So, Lord, we just thank you for this afternoon, for this opportunity to intentionally come aside with you. We thank you for the opportunities to sing our love songs to you and just soak in your presence. Lord, to intentionally just set our gaze on you. And so, Lord, as we come to hear from your word, Lord, we just open up our hearts afresh to you. And Lord, we just come as your vessels. Would you fill us? And as your blobs of clay on your potter's wheel, would you continue to mould us as we don't resist but allow ourselves to be pliable in your loving hands? In Jesus' name we give you thanks. Amen. So today, our time together is called Stirring Up a Stuck Society. So I want to continue on. So each week I've kind of come up and I've been quite excited, saying, oh, God's got us on this journey. And people are coming up to me and saying, Marie, you're pretty vague. You know, as a tour guide, you're not really giving us much information or itinerary or about what is it you're really asking us or you think that God is asking us to sign up for. And I do have to apologise. But I am getting lots of direction and God's been, I've been linking into some great material that, resources that have just gone, wow, God, I've just gone, God is all over this. This God, this is for us. So I do have some understanding. We'll learn about that together. But the thing is, you know, Toe has been mentioning about the parable, you know, Jesus inviting his disciples into the boat because the invitation is he wants to take us to the other side. And for the disciples, wow, amazing things happen. They met the demoniac. Miracles happened, signs and wonders, and great things obviously would have happened to this disciples' faith. So God is asking us to get into the boat, and it's actually the journey of being in that boat and what will happen, that's where the great, amazing transformation and journey and download and transformation and moulding and new life is going to happen for us. The destination is going to be awesome, but it's the journey getting there that's also extremely exciting. You know, when Jesus was asking us to get into the boat, I wonder what kind of boat you were picturing. I'm wondering, I reckon that's kind of, I think this is the kind of boat Jesus is picturing. You know, this it's actually starting to take off, I reckon. It's getting out of the water. Because doing life with Jesus, he's wanting us to do the normal Christian life. And I believe Jesus is wanting to help us to redefine what normal really looks like. I reckon it looks like that. And the definition of the normal Christian life and that type of ride is actually what we're made for. And it's actually the easy fit for us. And when Jesus talks about his yoke, it's that light and easy yoke that we share with him as we do life with Jesus. So let's get started. Let's think about us getting into that boat. And to get started, we actually need to know where we're starting from. Where are we actually launching from anyway? Where are we right now? Something that came into the mail that I received this week, which was a really long time coming, like over a year, and it came this week. You know, sometimes we think God is slow, but his timing's perfect. It's beautiful. Was the results of a survey that we as a church did together at the end of 2021, the National Church Life Survey, which is a nationwide survey that gets done every 5 years. So we get to see what is the church looking like nationwide, but also about your own particular group. And so it was great. So it helped to highlight where we're at right now. And it was kind of a bit about like our report card, you know, how are we doing, which kind of reminded me too about the last letter in the Bible, John's Revelation. And Jesus turns up in that and says, John, write to the churches and let them know how they're doing. And interestingly, he says, write them to the angel of the church. I probably read that before, but sometimes it doesn't quite hit you. Because he said, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. To the angel of the church in whichever city it was, write. So it's not wonderful. I mean, this is their report card. It's from Jesus. That's pretty a big deal. This is just from NCLS. But, you know, it is a guide that God works through these things. We need Jesus, though. We need more than just NCLS and that survey. We need Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, for the angelic presence that you have with us, that you actually do assign angels to us. Our ministers, your messengers. So thank you, Lord, for that. Sometimes we need to give thanks for what God provides, doesn't it? And it's good to be reminded that Marion Vineyard has an angel or angels. I'm not quite sure how many or if it's just one. But let's be grateful. So let's celebrate what we've been doing well. So the next slide has our top four core strengths that's happened. So we got a score out of 10 for these. So worship, we got 10 out of 10. Woohoo! And it wasn't about performance, but the key thing that we got 10 out of 10 for was always experience inspiration in church worship services. So the whole thing, the music's great and that's a part of it, absolutely. And it's not just the music, it's the opportunity, isn't it, for us to tell to Jesus, our audience of one, our heart for him. So great, 10 out of 10. So these are all 90% and up. I decided to share today. The next one was our faith. So it was saying that a much growth in our faith over that year through participation and being within this community. How awesome is that? And that was all during COVID as well. So wonderful that we could encourage one another in our relationship with Jesus and to keep growing. And people wrote in or marked off in the survey that their faith and having faith and having it be a part of everything of who they are was vitally important. So that's really great. innovation, 91% strongly agree that this church is always ready to try something new. And that was for us even before COVID. I mean, I know COVID did push us around and made us have to do a lot of changes. But it's something we've always kind of known about this community is, and that's been great for Toe and I, because we, you know, we want to be doing the Holy Spirit thing. Maybe not what we did last year or what other churches are doing. We want to know what God's wanting us to do and to go on that journey, which means sometimes things look a bit different. But as a community, we've really grown in that, and I think we really love that. It's great. Leadership culture, and then 90% agree that leaders here encourage attenders to find their gifts and skills to a great extent. So that's good. And that is our heart. And it's great to see individuals being challenged and growing in different areas, and even just sharing their testimonies was fantastic to get people up to share and to be a part of what's going on. So we need to celebrate, don't we? That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Because it's about God, isn't it? Working in us. You know, he wants to be, as Toe said, you know, he loves us. And he is leading us. And he's present with us. And he's feeling us. And he's showing us constantly where he wants to lead us and how he wants to mold us. So how awesome. We thank you, Lord. Let's give God a round of applause, I reckon. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We need to celebrate. You know, we need to celebrate our milestones and these good things, and to recognise, because we're recognising God is with us. So, okay, that's us. Let's look at the worldwide report card. So there's some great news there too. So this is a little graph going from 1900 to 2013. So in 1900, worldwide, there were 560 million Christians, give or take. 560 million. And it's steadily going up and up and up. And in 2013, 2.18 billion. So that's a fair few, isn't it? Looks pretty good. So, but the not so good news with the next slide is that compared to the whole population growth of the world, actually the percentage of Christians hasn't really changed. So today we're looking to see, let's stir up the stuck society. Well, it turns out the stuck society is us. We're stuck at 33%. So what? That makes me think, so what needs to move? What needs to get unstuck to shift so that that can change? In our report, it had, you know, the core strengths that were, you know, what they were, but also had an area that showed where we need to improve that has been on a bit of decline. And that one has been sharing our faith. Oh, well, that's interesting. That kind of would go in line a little bit with what's been maybe going on. We're a great community, I believe, in learning how to be naturally supernatural. And I hear lots of stories about how we share Jesus through the everyday and praying for healing. Yet I'm wondering if there's something that we might be stuck in and something that we needs to move. So I think it's good if we go back to see, well, what did actually Jesus, what were his instructions to us? So if we look on the next slide, we look at the words of Jesus before he departs this earth. And usually people's last words are the cliffhanger, the ones that you really want to know. And as we read that in Matthew 28, we've seen it many times, but let me please read it again to you. Then Jesus came and he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He has all authority over the universe, and he's speaking to us. so we can receive what he's speaking to us with great confidence that if he says go and do it, we'll be able to go and do it. So he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So is there something we've missed here? Is there something we've missed? If we go to the next slide, we can see that Jesus has called all of us to be disciples that make disciples, that make disciples. So Jesus said, go and teach them. Go and teach them. We're really good at learning, especially in the Western Church. We have great access to information, like we've got the Vineyard College. We can do stuff. We're very good in information. If we look at a Bible text together, you know, it's usually we don't just look at that Bible text. Everyone wants to tell you about all the other texts that could relate to that and give you so much more information. We've become a church worldwide, especially in the West, that's really good about knowledge and understanding, to be taught. Jesus said, teach them to obey. So I'm wondering if there's a doing aspect that maybe we might have not quite emphasized enough. Sometimes with all of our education, we can educate the doing right out of ourselves. Because we're enjoying the absorbing. We need to and want to start fires in the hearts of other people for Jesus. And so it's really important that as we think about what Jesus might be calling us into this, what's happening in our heart? What's happening in our heart first? And so I'm asking myself this as well. This is big stuff. This is what we're called for. You know, so where is your heart right now? Let's have a look at the next slide. This is really great. Because sometimes we can say yes on the outside. Yeah, I want to do that. I love Jesus. I want to follow him. Yes, yes. But when it comes to the crunch, we don't. Sometimes there could be something in our hearts that's saying, no, I don't think I will. Thank you, but no. You might be saying you are willing, but are you? Am I? This is what I've been asking myself. Am I really willing? The state of our hearts is absolutely key. True, sincere obedience, which is what Jesus is asking for, only happens from hearts that are in right alignment with God. Right alignment with God. And that's in a place of love. And God's love is fully infused with trust, with hope, with joy, with peace. And there's no place for fear. If we look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we can read about, it starts with love, and the rest is really describing, I think, what love looks like when it's fleshed out. And with perfect love, there's no fear, but only full surrender. Simon started us off thinking about who God is. We bring nothing to the table, as Simon said, and that's right. God is asking to bring to the table a fully surrendered heart. God is all about love. John's letter talks about that. And God's love, and as Toe talked about too, it's about this beautiful relationship that's within the Trinity. And God is calling us to connect with that beautiful love with him, and also to share that love with others. But how we do this is completely contingent on how we're doing that. And God is really wanting us to inspect today, reflect How are we really doing that? No condemnation, but always an invitation. Let's do that today. So how's your love for Jesus today? What shifts do you need to make to go deeper? Do you need to start a devotion on YouVersion to get you connecting? What might that be? Maybe you can stop doing something else and to make time, slow down to catch up with God. Maybe you'd like to do journaling. Little steps can make a huge difference. And I need to say at this point that we must not forget that we're in a spiritual battle. Once we say yes to Jesus, we enter into a cosmic spiritual battle. You might not see things around you, but what you'll experience is thoughts. Oh, that all sounds far too hard. Oh, Maria, I have no energy. How am I ever going to fit anything else in? Don't you know my schedule? Oh, it's all too much. So our own mindset is a great battleground that we need to have victory in, because lies and doubts love to come in. The other thing that can happen is that the enemy can bring outward attacks, maybe sickness. Maybe people might come up to you and really hammer you and question, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? Why would you do that? So the enemy does not want us to go deeper with Jesus, does not. And so expect pushback. So as we start this journey as a fellowship, and I see this journey a bit of a cultural change for us that will go on for years. And today is day one. We're at ground zero today. God is asking us, how's your heart? Are you all in? And as we say yes, or say, I'd like to be, help me, expect pushback. Don't be frightened about that though. I heard about a young girl in our fellowship having a dream about a spiritual attack. And the key, have courage. Because we have Jesus in us. Greater is he that's in us than he who's in the world, and all those thoughts that come in. You know, when I didn't know Jesus, and I was a young woman at university enjoying a great time, not in the Lord, I'd have to say, and God turned up and started talking to me and made me realize, I had no idea who God was, but I somehow knew the creator of the universe was talking to me. And even though I thought my life was one great party, because of course when you're spiritually blind, you can't really see what's going on. But God showed me there was something better. What on earth is that about? Okay, so the search began. And as I began to ask questions, I started going to a church. Thought, I guess that's what you do. Asking lots of questions. I realised in my journey of understanding who God is that Jesus came and died. And thought, oh wow, I've never heard of that before. And God, I could see clearly, wasn't just about knowing about this stuff. God wanted complete control of my life. Whoa, you say what? I know what I want. I know the best for me. I said, you know, I'm not going to give control just over to anyone. I have to really, really know that you are who you say you are. Well, eventually that day came and I was convinced. We need to be convinced. And then I said to Jesus, okay, you can have me. And that was my surrender. And the Spirit came in, love came in, and I've been on a great honeymoon ever since. I recommend it. But, you know, I got distracted along the way. And, you know, I met people and fell in love, and sometimes not with the right I realise I did that at one point, said no to this boy, please, bye-bye, and realised God showed me that I mistakenly and had no idea I'd given my heart to this young man, and this tiny little bit was left. And I said, God, this only little bit left, but you have it all. I'm so sorry. Take it and use it. And with that, if you do that, God's on task, and straight away just grew in more and more revelation and experience of the goodness of God. And then it came to the day when I met another young man, my husband to be. Wow, that was a shock. What was I going to do with this? He kept asking me to marry him. And I said to God, I don't get this marriage thing. You know, men connecting with women. I mean, they're from different planets. What were you thinking? So for me, marrying was a complete step of faith. When I said yes to Toe, I was saying yes to God first. I'm in it because you're asking me to be in it. You know, and nothing else. And, you know, that's it. God just wants obedience. People are laughing as though this is really, what are you talking about, Maria, what are you saying? You know, sometimes we talk about what we need, and I guess, you know, I was thinking about this too, you know, there's a lot of gender fluidity and, you know, all preferences and stuff like that. You know, it doesn't matter about sexuality or whatever. It's about obedience to Jesus. I mean, I'm thinking the heterosexual thing looks pretty, you know, it's hard. But it's God's plan. And that's what God asks us to ultimately submit to, isn't it? So I didn't feel like, wow, this is going to be great. I mean, I did love Toe, so it's all right. I do love him. It's okay. But, you know, the whole thing, it didn't feel like, oh, great. It felt like, but I'll say yes. Because as I looked at Scripture and what God was saying, I can trust him. I don't have to understand things to say yes and to be obedient. God wants to remind us the type of love that he wants us to experience with him. And it's fiery and it's passionate and it's all-consuming. And he's asking, you know, are you there yet? Because that's where he wants us to be. And it just keeps growing and growing. He left us a letter, the Song of Songs, which is on the next slide. And it talks about the type of love that two lovers have for each other. And this whole thing is there to show us the type of love that God wants us to experience with him. It says, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot wash it away. If one were to give all the wealth of his house for love, it would be utterly scorned. It just would be like, that's no way that's enough. So this is saying, like, love's demands are all-consuming. Like, when we are in love with Jesus, our eyes are only for Jesus. Everything else dims and is not of importance. Everything comes into alignment with that. Even external forces like water that can't quench love. External forces can't drown it. And it's of greater value than anything else that we can pursue in this earthly life. Nothing else compares. So as we look at the next slide, how's your love for Jesus today? Is it all-consuming? Does it totally dictate your decisions and your behaviour? And what shifts do you think you need to make today? Maybe just a little shift, a decision, a way that you do stuff to help you to go deeper and to partner more fully with God. And as we become this testimony sharing community, I anticipate testimonies are going to come out about the things that God has really asked you to make that shift in. I'm just going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to sing a song. It's called You Won't Relent Until You Have It All. And the all is our hearts. prophet saying, God, you don't relent. You don't stop until you have all of our hearts. God loves us so much that he doesn't. We come just as we are, and we are a community that we accept and forgive and love just where you're at. But God's love refuses to leave any of us how we are today. He's continuously moving us on. And God wants all of our heart. He wants complete control, no leftovers. And he wants that so that our heart is so entwined with his that we'll know and experience deeper wholeness and healing and joy, freedom, and the new life that we're created to have, the easy fit, really, but wild and wonderful. So will you follow where Jesus leads us? Will you get into the boat with him today? Will you let him have your heart so that you can be unstuck in the areas that need it? And will you let him take you even deeper? So I invite you today to sing this as our personal prayer. And if you're not there yet, like, oh, that sounds like a lot, then I invite you, Holy Spirit, would you just come and highlight to us what needs to shift, what we need to agree with or partner with in faith, or maybe what we need to let go of, the lies, the doubts, the fear that may be there. But let's enter honestly into this moment with God today. And you might not be a part of this church, but God is still wanting to take you deeper. He still wants to make those shifts so that you experience greater love and life and that you know his heart and partner with him. So let me pray. Let's just stand. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we don't want to be stuck. We don't want to be stuck in any way. So we come and we surrender and submit our heart and wills once again to you, Jesus. Not our will, but yours be in us. Your will and your purposes of real life, real wholeness and healing for all. Come, Holy Spirit.